I dropped an olive in my martini as the band played an old tune. Despite the grim circumstances, the crowd around me had no problem partaking in the evening's entertainment. It was tradition for ships to hold a ball the night before they reached port, and nobody thought that the grisly murder of a spoiled heiress was much reason to make an exception. I'd done my best to emulate their rather forgettable spirit. I even let one of the rich boys buy me drinks and spin me around the room a couple times, but I wasn't much interested in making his night a lucky one. My mind was still on the case, and I had only a couple more hours to solve it. As far as I was concerned, the girl's killer still remained at large. Her maid had been detained after she had been found standing over the heiress's dead body holding a stained knife. The servant girl claimed that she'd been acting in self-defense. I didn't believe her story, but I still didn't have enough evidence to convict her. The clues I had gathered weren't adding up, and at any rate, I knew that the police wouldn't arrest her unless I could give them an airtight motive. Too bad I was fresh out of those. I knew that I should have just let the case go. After all, nobody can solve every mystery. But my damn ego kept getting the better of me. I knew that I was close to the truth. Every detail kept turning over and over in my mind. Finally, in an attempt to stop it from driving me mad, I tossed down my drink and headed for the back of the deck, with a foolish hope that some fresh air might clear my head. Thankfully, Mr. Trust Fund was too preoccupied with some giggling little thing to bother following me. I gave a sigh as I felt the salty mist on my face. The deck was empty, and I was grateful for a moment alone. Without a second thought, I lit up a cigarette and leaned out over the railing. I let it burn as I stared off at the horizon, pondering my thoughts. But I barely managed to finish half the joint before I had some unwelcome company. I didn't bother to turn my head when I heard footsteps behind me. I knew who it was. The scuff of shabby loafers against the floorboards was unmistakable. The shoes belonged to a certain male detective who had also taken an interest in the heiress's murder. I like to refer to him as the Gent, because he at least had the decency to never remark on my womanhood, which put him ahead of most of the dime store detectives I'd met. However, I was less than impressed by his investigation. From what I understood, he had spent far more time teasing women than he had solving the crime. It was no wonder that he was still clueless. Even though I hadn't solved the case, I took pride in knowing that I knew more than him, and I intended to keep it that way. He would never bother to ask for my help, so why should I give it to him? I took another drag on the cigarette. To my surprise, the gent wasn't leaving. He had to have hated me for meddling in a case that he had uncharitably decided belonged to him alone. So why did he have any interest in my company? I gave him a quick side glance. His face looked torn between anger and longing. I should have known. In that dress, my ass could tempt even the most hard-boiled of men. Well, best to play along. After all, lustful men have loose lips, and if he let a few secrets slip, I might get enough information to solve the case. Besides, I had to admit, he looked rather dashing in his three-piece suit. On another night, I might have even found him charming. Right now, I needed his mind far more than I wanted his body. I heard him approach behind me. I knew that he was going to ask me to dance. It was the easiest request he could make, and lucky for him, I thought it to be a decent starting move. Without a word, I turned and took his hand. He seemed a bit surprised by my eagerness, but nonetheless led me into a slow waltz. We could still hear faint music coming from the ballroom, and kept time to it. I let him lead. I well knew how to trick a man into thinking he was in control. But to his credit, he knew the steps well, and even if his expression was stern, the dance was enjoyable. As he spun me around the deck, I had to hide a smile. As much as I hated to admit it, I was having more fun in his arms than I had felt in quite a while. But I knew the moment wouldn't last. It wasn't long before he started asking about the case. As he pulled me out of a dip, he gripped my hand tighter and asked me who I thought did it. I smiled and kept my footing as he led into the next step. I didn't dare let him think that he had made me uncomfortable, and I saw no reason to be coy. There was no harm in telling him my theory, as long as I didn't share evidence with him. "The maid did it," I replied. He nodded and didn't miss the turn. I could tell by his frown that he disagreed with me, though. I tried not to press the issue, but curiosity got the better of me. I asked why he thought that she was innocent. I half expected him to insist that the girl's virginity somehow made her pure, but to my surprise, he gave an honest answer. As we stepped, he explained that the girl's injuries didn't match my theory. The poor servant only had wounds on her back and no marks on her front. I suppressed a laugh. I didn't have to ask how he had gotten that little piece of information. The gent never could keep his hands to himself. But I still had to grant his point. The injuries only made sense if the servant girl's story was true. Perhaps the heiress really did try to kill her. But my guess was that my dear friend hadn't a clue as to why. I smirked as his step quickened. I asked if he had a motive, and his reddening cheeks gave an immediate answer. He still kept pace, though. I let him spin me into a final twirl as the song ended. Then he let go of me and gave a slight bow. I stared at him. I wondered why he had given me more evidence. As radiant as I was, I certainly hadn't charmed it out of him. The man was easy, but he wasn't that easy. It was a mistake to look him in the eye. His glance melted me, and I couldn't help but think that his intentions were noble. Perhaps he simply wanted solutions and was no longer concerned with who got there first. I still didn't quite trust him. But if he wanted to ride the high road, I was happy to join him, and exchanging a secret for a secret did seem like a fair trade. I reached for my purse and pulled out the series of letters I'd taken from the Count's dressing room the night before. At first glance, the writing seemed innocent. The letters were just a series of exchanges between a father and daughter. Hardly a surprising thing to find. The Count was the heiress's father. It seemed natural that they would write to each other, and not too strange that the Count might keep up such correspondence. But closer inspection of them had revealed something far more interesting. The Count wasn't writing to the heiress. It turned out that he had another daughter who just so happened to have the same name as the heiress's maid. My guess was that the poor servant girl was the product of an affair. The Count kept her existence a secret, but was at least kind enough to send the girl a letter every now and then. I held up the letters and explained everything to my old friend, the gent. After he had taken it in, he stared at me with a confused expression on his face. I tried to smile, but I was just as baffled as him. I knew that I had given him a motive. After all, the heiress could have easily tried to kill the servant girl out of jealousy. But it still left too much unexplained. If the attack on the heiress was just an act of petty revenge gone wrong, then why had somebody else tried to murder the brat with a chandelier the day before? Did the maid want her dead, or was it something else entirely? I wanted answers, but looking into that damn man's eyes reminded me that I wanted something else too. I stared up at him, expecting him to ask me more questions. But instead, he kissed me. I shuddered in surprise, but despite myself, I enjoyed the taste of his sweet lips. Part of me wanted to slap him for the sheer audacity of it. It had been a long time since I'd let a man touch me without permission. But as I felt his arms wrap around me, my heart longed for something that my mind knew better than to give it. I knew that he was toying with me, I knew that I shouldn't bother playing his silly little game, but I wanted him. I wanted him so badly. He deepened his kiss, and his tongue started to tempt mine. I knew that he needed me to give in to it, and I could no longer hold back my longing. All the hatred I had for him was now buried far beneath my lust. I kissed him, and it felt like time had stopped. My body was now a slave to my lips. I felt my heart race as my tongue danced with his. He was amazing. But I didn't forget myself. He might have thought that I was powerless under his touch, but I wasn't his usual little slut, and I wasn't about to let him win. It may have been his game, but everybody knows that men can never last too long. I'd break him before he broke me. As his lips left mine, a smile curled on my face. I gave him a wink. Then I shoved him into a nearby deck chair. He gasped in surprise, but I crawled on top of him before he had a chance to move. I slid my legs around his body. Might as well give the darling a show. After all, I needed to teach him who was truly in control. I gave him a soft kiss, but pulled back before he got greedy. He could pout all he wanted, but he didn't own my lips. They were mine to tease him with. I moved my mouth lower to play with his neck. I had to stop myself from smirking as he let out a moan. Just as I thought, he was like clay in my hand, so easy to manipulate and shape however I wanted. I bit at his neck as his arms circled around me once again. I knew that I shouldn't have allowed it, but he felt good, and I doubted the deer would take too kindly to being cuffed. Besides, he wasn't the only one with quick fingers. I gave him another kiss on the lips, slower this time, letting him drink in all of me. Then I slid my hand down his trousers. I wasn't surprised that he was excited to see me. It was easy to see through his stern facade. Underneath all of his gritty posturing stood a man just like any other, one that craved the touch of a woman. So I started stroking his beautiful cock, and he kissed me to silence another moan. But it wasn't enough to distract me. I let my fingers run all over him. I knew that each tug of my hand was only making him want me more. I kissed him again and let him melt into me. I knew that he wouldn't dare stop me now. So I slowly undid the buttons on his pants and pulled out that sweet cock which desperately needed my attention. Now I could truly tease it. I moved my hand up and down his shaft as I felt him grow slick. Then, just to excite him a little more, I drew my hand away and started to slip out of my dress. His eyes widened with excitement and delight, but he knew better than to offer to help me. After all, it was my show. Once I stood naked before him, he gave a nod of approval. It was only slight. He wasn't the type to ever give a woman too much credit, but a quick glance a little lower told me that I more than satisfied him. I slid back onto his lap and reached for his sweet cock again, but he caught my wrist and gave me a hard glare. I looked into his eyes. I could tell that he was irritated with himself for letting me get the better of him, but he didn't dwell on it. A playful smirk crossed his face, and he threw me off his lap and onto the floor. I was surprised, but I didn't cry out. I kept my face expressionless and turned back to watch his next move. He stood up. His pants fell to his ankles, but he kicked them off without a second thought. Then he started to unbutton his shirt. I hid my smile. There's something about a man standing naked in the moonlight that makes me want to sin. He still looked dashing, yet almost primal. But if he was a beast, he was a beast that I craved. I didn't bother moving as he climbed on top of me. If he wanted control, he could have it. I'd still beat him in the end. There was no harm indulging myself a bit first. I smiled up at him and dared him to take whatever he wanted. He kissed my neck, and the gentleness of his touch caught me off guard. He felt so good. Without thinking, I let out a moan. I could almost feel his smirk against my skin. I knew that he was all too happy to have turned the tables on me, but it hardly mattered. I could enjoy his touch all I wanted, as long as he caved first, so I might as well treat myself. I pushed his head lower so that he could appreciate my beautiful breasts. His mouth didn't waste any time. He kissed every inch of my bosom, and then sucked my nipples until they grew hard and eager. The pleasure was almost too much. I had to put my hand over my mouth to keep from gasping, but I realized that only pushed him further. He wanted to tempt me, and knew exactly how to do it. With that same sly grin on his face, he slid his hand down and started teasing my clit. Oh. I set my jaw. I was determined not to voice how much he had pleased me, but my pussy wasn't so quiet. I felt myself getting wet and needy as he played with me. I squirmed to try to stop it, but his hand already knew the truth. And then he was kind enough to remind me that turnabout is fair play. The damn fellow is such a tease. I hated that he was making me so excited, but I craved his body even more, and I knew how to make it mine. Once he was distracted by my clit, I wrapped my legs around him. He stared down at me. I gave him a wink, and then flipped him over and climbed on top. He looked furious. I had no doubt that he hated being on the bottom. Such a pity. So did I. And I wasn't about to let some second-rate dime store detective convince me otherwise. I suppose that meant we were at a bit of an impasse, but I wanted to touch him so badly that I didn't care. Thankfully, he seemed fine to continue our little cat-and-mouse game, and didn't much care who was the prey. He kept still and let me play with his cock, but I knew that it wasn't satisfying him anymore. He needed more. So I figured that I'd better make sure that sweet cunny was ready for him. I grinded against him until I felt my wetness drip onto his skin. The heat was almost too much. I craved cock, but I knew that I had reminded him of what he was missing. And of what he would never have if he didn't let me ride him. I slid my dripping wet cunt over his cock and stared down at him. I knew that he wanted it, and I dared him to try to stop me. For a moment, it looked like he might give in to temptation, but then he grabbed my waist and threw me off him. I rolled over and sat up next to him. We looked back at each other as we both gasped for air, our eyes firmly refusing to give an inch. I glared at him. I was not willing to compromise. I told myself that I didn't need him as much as he needed me, but my cunny throbbed in disagreement. Still, I wouldn't give in. I would rather leave than let him win. He wasn't worth losing myself over. As I turned to go, he grabbed my hand and pulled me back over to the deck chair. Then he sat down and pulled me onto his lap. I blinked. So he was willing to let me be on top. I guess he thought that sitting up allowed him to maintain some semblance of control, even though I could still ride him. Whatever. Fine by me. As long as I didn't have his damn body hovering over me, I was happy. No need to worry about his fragile ego. He opened his mouth to explain the idea, but I didn't need any more direction from him. I put my finger to his lips and slid my excited cunny onto his wet, hard cock. He let out a moan as he felt my beautiful cunt tighten around him. I knew that he was mine. He had been waiting so long for me. Oh, I'd break him. No matter how bad I wanted him, I would break him. I gasped, and he thrust himself into me. He held nothing back. He wanted to give me all of it, and my wet little Cunny was so eager to take it. I screamed in delight and pulled him closer. There was no point in holding back any more. We were already so close. I couldn't ignore temptation. I needed him. I thrust my hips and let his cock touch me in all the right places. He grabbed my waist, and I cried out as my Cunny gushed with joy. He pushed in deeper. Each pulse brought us closer and closer to ecstasy, but I was determined not to give in first. I wrapped myself around him and rode him harder. He started to shake in my arms as I grinded against him. Oh, he felt so good. I gasped, but I remained strong. I needed him to come for me. I knew he was close. I could feel him quiver with each thrust as he struggled to hold on. I kissed his neck, and in sheer desperation, he begged for me to finish, but I just looked back at him with sinful eyes. I had no interest in making this easy. I was going to push him to the edge. I knew that he craved my pleasure every bit as much as I craved his, and I knew that I might lose control, but that only made me want to fuck him more. I kissed him, and he thrust himself even deeper inside of me. I moaned and pounded myself against him. Ah, he would bend to me. I would make him bend to me. But I couldn't stop my body from trembling as I felt my clit heat up. I was ready, so ready. I heard him growl, and I knew that he'd reached the point of no return, but I couldn't hold on any more. My beautiful, needy cunt wept with joy as I felt his sweet cum fill me. I couldn't think, I couldn't breathe. All that existed was the pleasure of his delicious cock. I moaned with happiness as my clit danced. I no longer cared who won or lost. All I cared about was the rapture that we shared. It was everything that I could ever have dreamed. I awoke several hours later when I felt him stirring. It was near dawn. I could just see the sun peeking up over the horizon. I looked down at him. He hadn't even noticed that I was awake yet. His eyes stared over the water, lost in thought. I could tell from the tiny smile on his face that he had no regrets about the night before. In truth, I didn't either. I rarely made mistakes, and the ones I did make tended to be worth it. So it made no difference whether he was one or not. But the dawn's light meant that our time was short. As much as I enjoyed watching him, I needed to interrupt his thoughts to ask about the case. Thankfully, he didn't seem to mind. For better or worse, the morning air gave us clarity, and we were able to share the final clues. I told him that the heiress was a petty thief, and he told me that the captain had specifically requested that the maid sail with the ship. Nothing was a smoking gun, but it was enough for us to put the puzzle together. Once we were done comparing notes, our eyes lit up at the same time, and we knew that we had both found the same solution. The Count knew about the heiress's less than stellar reputation, and had decided to find a more suitable daughter to inherit his fortune. But of course, he couldn't cut the brat out of his will without drawing a few too many eyes. So he decided to kill the darling instead. His plan was to murder the heiress on the ship and take the maid back to the city to sign a new will as soon as the boat reached port. Perhaps it would have been wiser for him to have waited, but he didn't want to risk the heiress's idiot husband getting his hands on the family fortune. But the heiress was cleverer than most gave her credit for. She figured out her father's scheme and decided to take matters into her own hands. She knew that she couldn't go to the cops. Even if they believed her, the Count would just publicly denounce her instead. Which, for that brat, was a fate worse than death. So she decided to try and kill off her competition. And unfortunately, she underestimated just how strong a working-class servant girl could be. It all made sense. Every piece of the puzzle fit. but we both knew that it was a lost cause trying to convict the Count. Our evidence was circumstantial at best, and the Count had so much money that he would have a decent chance of getting off, even if he had been the one caught standing over his daughter with a bloody knife. We both agreed that the best we could do was prove the maid's innocence. She likely didn't know about the Count's plans, and, at least if she wasn't arrested, she'd be able to live a charmed life with Daddy Dearest. Perhaps it wasn't the cleanest solution, but I'd been in the biz long enough to know that not everybody got a happy ending. So I agreed to talk the captain into letting her go, and left it to my friend to explain the situation to the servant girl. I was sure that he wouldn't mind. And then we parted ways. Neither of us bothered to say goodbye. No need. I knew that our paths would cross again some day. And when they did, I knew that we would dance again.